Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Suave.
I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss grinding, shit get critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams and right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, changed relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly. Now
Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all of your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime on your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Alrighty, guys, we are back with another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. I'm your host, Andrew Robinson, and we are pleased and honored to be joined by what I feel like is a stranger. I ain't seen him in so long, goddamn, but my guy Tank is back joining us on the pod, man. What's good, my guy? Long time no see.
Listen, bro, they done had me running all facts, all busy, all the time. You know how it is, man. So in that season, NBA season, we got it rolling, but I ain't the busiest man on this call, and it ain't me either, bro. It's another guy we got up here, man. So I'm going to let you do the introduction of my guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, listen, we're going to give my guy his proper introduction for sure, man. I had to definitely tap in with my guy first a little bit, so he was cool. I don't know if you've been on the pod since you started working for the Mavs. Have we gave the All Facts guests the announcement of Hank, you know what I mean, the life update yet? Has that happened?
Life update, bro, is I be trying to, you know, I got to keep it on the low, you know. So they be watching.
Low-ski.
Okay. Since the last time I've been on the What's In Your Bag podcast, I've started with the Dallas Mavericks as a social media coordinator. I specialized in our reels, our TikToks, all our vertical content. Stop it. it's been smooth, man. It's been a real blessing just to get a little step further in the industry and just working a league with so many different talented people, just from players to front office to just up and down, not even just in our organization as the Mavericks, is a great organization, just the league in general, bro. So definitely blessed, but definitely glad to be back here on What's In Your Bag podcast. You know, it's time to get back home, man. We was overdue.
Yes, sir, man. We're glad to have you back, man. And congratulations on the new role, which is, you know, might not too new to us, but, you know, for the audience and the viewers, definitely wanted to give you your flowers, man, and your props, you know, here live on air.
What my guy say? What my guy say? Come on, you know what time it is.
Yes, sir. Now, I mean, you cool and all. You cool and all, you know what I mean? But you are not the special guest that we have on today. And our guy definitely deserves an introduction. But before we introduce our guest, you know we got to get the business out of the way. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and stop what you're doing right now. Tap that subscribe button. Go ahead and stop right now. Tap that subscribe button. You know what I mean? Go do that. Give us a thumbs up. It goes a long, long way. If you're hearing this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, comment, give us some feedback. We appreciate it. That was my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro. There's going to be him on the outro as well. Make sure you guys are streaming his music. One of the hottest up-and-coming artists out of the DMV. But now that we got that business out of the way, you know what I mean? It's time to give our special guest a wonderful introduction, man. This is somebody who is super, super talented, somebody who I've had the pleasure of, or we've all had the pleasure of watching from afar, seeing their content grow. Somebody who is honestly, I think, one of the most creative and innovative creators on the internet as far as the style that he edits his videos with, the music, the touch, you know what I mean? But we'll get into all that, you know, on the episode, man. But we are pleased, honored, excited to have none other than Merrick Alexander on the What's In Your Bag podcast today. Merrick, thanks for joining us today, my guy.
Of course. I appreciate y'all for having me. Always will be a pleasure to speak with great people and see what's in the bag.
I like it already. Hey, man, sure. Before we even go too further, man, we spoke on just how great of a creator he is, man. But we talking about, like, in this industry, great people aren't always the easiest to come by, man. So just a really super down-to-earth guy, great guy, easy to connect with, willing to just go out, do for you, and just a good guy overall to be around. So I definitely want to give you kudos on that, too. I know a lot of times we get caught up in the work, but when we meet genuine people, bro, we got to shout out and show love to genuine people, man.
I appreciate that, fam. Like, what gang say?
What gang?
Tribe.
Now, I want to ask, man, because as we're recording, you know, we're on the heels of All-Star Weekend. Let's wrap that up. So I want to ask you in a moment, how'd you spend All-Star Weekend? You kind of get away, decompress a little bit. I know it can be super busy being able to, you know, just shooting all the games, always having to work, edit, et cetera. So, you know, how was your All-Star Weekend? What'd you get into? And then second question to that, what were your thoughts on the All-Star game? Because obviously right now in the media, there's a bunch of debate back and forth about the quality of the game and et cetera. So what were your thoughts first of all?
So first question, definitely took a load off for real. Went out to Miami. That was fun. Got to do some cool stuff, you know, get on a boat, get to see the water. I feel like every time I go to Miami, it's just like, the air just says, like, it smells like take a load off, you know what I mean? Or just like chill. So yeah, it was real smooth. I got to chill, got to, you know, kick back, got to watch the All-Star game. 211 points, that's insane. Like, that's crazy. But I agree with, I think, who was saying it? Was it Larry Bird? I think it was Larry Bird that was saying, like, yo, I want to see people compete. Like, they're the best players. And it's like you're choosing the best players in the world to play in one game. Of course, you don't want nobody to get injured. So it's like there's a push and pull to it. But at the same time, it's just like, dang, I want to see y'all compete. I want to see y'all go at it. I want to see, like, how y'all, like, mesh. You know what I mean? Like, how great players mesh, if that is even possible. It's fun. It's still like a, you know, glorified, like, you know, just whatever, Globetrotters or whatever. But I definitely think it could have some, you know, more competitiveness in it. But other than that, I think it's still cool. They need to definitely add a one-on-one tournament or like a horse featuring like Kyrie or somebody like that. I think that would be super dope. But for the most part, All-Star Weekend is All-Star Weekend. Dunk contest was a little underwhelming, but no, it was cool overall. The weekend was smooth. Ready to get back to the arena on Thursday, so I think.
No, also, I think was definitely something that this year, you know, we've seen better All-Star weekends as a whole. I do like the point about the one-on-one. I think a lot of us wants to see like a king of the court type of like three dribbles, right, get your shot up. But I also know like these guys, man, they play such a demanding schedule. I think it's just hard, you know, for them to like kind of do that. And I think they just want to break so bad.
Do you guys feel like the All-Star game needs to go back to a situation where guys are actually playing hard and competing? Because God forbid, knock on wood, somebody gets injured in the All-Star game, oh, we're never going to hear the end of it. You know what I mean? So I don't necessarily know what the solution is. Facts. You know what I mean?
Facts. I feel like it's a balance, man. Like, in the players' defense, they do, 42 games that they've played, or like 41 games already that they've played. And back to backs, everything is just like, yo, I want to take a load off. I just want to chill during the game. And I get it. I don't know. I feel like that idea where it's like whoever wins, whatever conference wins like the home court advantage, I think that really would give it a good little, like, they don't have to play as hard, but like, at least when the fourth quarter comes, it's like, okay, let's get this dub. You know what I mean? Let's try a little harder. At least take better looks instead of just doing, you know, whatever. Like, Luka shot it from, like, three quarters of the court. Like, got it.
He
shot
it for 2-for-1.
Bro, like, you know Luka, he'd probably make it, like, next time. So, it's just, I don't know. I think that's a cool concept. It is a little, like, drastic. Like, you just automatically get the conference home advantage, but I feel like, you know, it actually will make them push themselves. I feel like people was like thinking that the West was going to win, but the East ended up going crazy. So like, just even in that aspect, like, people like, dang, West got all these legends, all these future Hall of Famers, and then East do too, but like, people is definitely slating for the West to win. So like, it just gives them another little edge, another little fire. So
I ain't gonna cap, when I seen the West, how loaded the West was, I already knew they weren't gonna win. But they were too loaded for them to play serious. Like, when that team was that loaded, they, like, chill. And then the East was, like, sick. Like, just hella guys under, like, 25, 26, first all-star appearance. But they were chilling. But I definitely think something that make it more competitive that I really like is when they had the target score. Because to me, like, I think they gave everybody the mindset of kind of, like, playing 21. So you like, oh, I ain't finna, like, it's the idea of, like, well, I'm not finna let y'all go put 165 on my head. Like, it, like, you look crazy. I really think that element, and then if you mix that with the fact, like, you might get that extra game in the finals, I think both of those would kind of give you what you're looking for. But I really think, like, when you were playing to that competitive score, like, we seen Kyle Lowry take a charge in the All-Star game. Like, he was kind of bugging, but it brought the competitiveness that we were looking for. Like, you can only really get that in the fourth quarter if you're going to that target score.
Yeah. Now, All-Star Weekend was great, you know what I mean? But I definitely want to switch gears a little bit and get into your story, Merrick. Now, I know, Merrick, you are the pride of Ville Platte, Louisiana, a small town down south, you know what I mean? So take me back to them early days, man. I wanted to talk about kind of you, what you remember from just growing up in a small town, you know, Louisiana. You mentioned on your social media kind of how different it's been transitioning to a city like Dallas, where it's, you know, one of the biggest cities in America, a lot going on. So I want you to take us back to the child that was in Ville Platte. Just talk to us about where that inspiration came from. I know you hooped as well. So just talk about the kind of your intro into basketball, hooping, and what you remember just from your upbringing early on.
Ville Platte, bro, where do I start? Ville Platte is like one of those places where it's like super cultural. Everything is like kind of like tradition, if that makes sense. As like, I started playing basketball when I was like 5, 6, and whenever I like figured out that I actually like basketball, I knew I was like a LeBron fan. And then from there, it's just like our high school games were like super lit. Like, people are like on the floors, like stepping on the court, stepping on like the bleachers and everything. And like, all our playoff games was just like super, like, people were scared to come to Ville Platte to play. And that's always what I knew, just like that playoff atmosphere, that like, they used to have these people that came to the game called Blue Top Crew, because they would literally drink straight Blue Top vodka for every game. So they was always just doing that. And that like drove my passion for like wanting to play. I would see like our playoff teams lose and like, and like close games and stuff like that. And I was like, dang, okay, I want to change the dynamic or change, like, we're going to win when I start playing. And I don't know, that always just drove me to kind of like, you know, love basketball for sure. I didn't start like really like locking in basketball until like 7th, 8th grade. One of my friends, he was like diehard basketball fan. I actually kind of like football a little bit more. Like, I was going from basketball, football, down back to basketball. And then he taught me like how to work hard for him. So like, we was in the gym. His name Trey, by the way, so I'm trying to dog out. Got me in the gym, got me doing like 5 minute workouts. And from there, we was just like starving distraction, just going to the gym. His favorite player was Kyrie Irving at the time. Like, literally, once we went to St. Patrick's, like, we were watching all the games, recording all the games, and just like wanting to be Dallas of America, wanting to be everything you think of, Elite 24. We wanted to, I don't know, have all the gear. I was the first person to build that to where you so. But yeah, Ville Platte, everything is just so much smaller, man. It's hard to get looks, hard for people to come out there and, you know, want to stay to actually come and see what we have there. So it was always like, we always felt like we had like a chip on our shoulders, or like we were underdogs, like nobody was looking for us. So when you feel like that, you always want to be like, I want people to come look for me, you know what I mean? Or like, I want people to see what we got going on, or what, you know, what's good out here. So I just always kept that chip on my shoulder and just always was like, man, I gotta show people. And like, that's always been my like motif, or like just like who I am. Like, I always feel like I have to prove something to somebody, which in most cases, some cases, it's not the thing, but I don't know, just always just is built in me. Like, I got to show people like what I'm made of, or like what I'm coming from. Like, just because we a small city don't mean like we do got the best food. Like, you know what I mean? We still do got like the best culture when it comes to just like having a good time, and just, you know, having that family / community. Things have gotten worse now, just being that, you know, being a young boy and like crime and young people just doing crazy stuff. But VilPat really molded me into becoming like a, you know, like stuff starter, somebody that just wanted to find more, be more, do more. And that's always just like fueled me. I just always wanted to show what I could do and like the people back home, like what's possible. So yeah, man, VilPat made me. I don't think I'll ever move back there, just being because it's crazy out there right now. But yeah, man, VilPat definitely has, like, I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. I'm just saying. So.
That's love. Yes. You mentioned obviously the group career growing up at VilPat. I want to know when did Merrick the Shooter come and become a thing, man? How did you first pick up the camera? And when did you first start kind of developing that craft to become the person who you are today? Who, I mean, obviously one of the top creators in this basketball field.
So before we get to Merrick's, I want to know about AG the Shooter. That's what I want to know about. I want to know about AG the Shooter. And then we can talk about Merrick Alexander the Shooter.
Okay, so AG the Shooter stemmed from me being like a catch and shoot specialist in high school. I was like, people knew, like every game, he's a shooter, like followed him, like boxing one every time. My friends used to be mad at me because like every time they'll go to the gym, I'm always on the gun. And then by the time I got the camera, I was just like, okay, AG the Shooter, that's his, you know what I mean? And I picked up the camera my sophomore year in college, just copied. I was like, man, I'm bored. I want to try something new. I want to try to get a little, you know, little extra little bag. And honestly, it wasn't even for a bag. It was for just doing cool stuff, like my friends and family. Like, I want to take cool pictures and, like, turn them up and turn, you know, the whole gang up. And just capture, like, family events. So I started doing that and started with more pictures of, like, my cousins and pictures of, like, my friends. And then I got an internship with Louisiana Tech's marketing street team. And then I was like, man, I might want to start shooting games. So I ended up asking for permission to shoot at games. And then I was just, I don't know, I'm just like, damn, bro, you like basketball? And you just got this camera, why not, like, try to get good at it? So I started helping, like, all the media, or all the sports teams with, like, content and, like, my friends that played. And from there, people just started gravitating towards what I was doing. And they started wanting to pay me for grad shoes. They wanted me to pay to come to workouts. And then it was one summer, Justin Holiday came into the town, because he's from Western, or lived there for a short period of time, and we got in the gym. And from there, I was like, yeah, okay. NBA champion believes in me, you know what I mean? Or like somebody that's in the NBA believes in me. So it's just like, okay, how far can I take this? So I just kept getting like, I would slowly get a little bit more serious and buy like different gear, like different lens, different, you know, until I upgraded my camera and just started doing way more like shoots and practicing or like messing with video a little bit. Haven't gotten a video yet, but and then yeah, like by the time I was a senior, I was pretty much like the lit photographer / like cool person on campus. I don't know, I still didn't feel like, okay, I'm gonna do this like full time. So I was just like doing it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get a job in marketing when I go to Dallas or Miami or Houston, LA, wherever I was gonna end up at. So I ended up graduating, moving to Dallas. And then I kept shooting. I started working at Apple and I was working at JPMorgan Chase. But I started to think about it. I'm like, I can't be AG the Shooter because some audiences, it won't be like, you know, the best representation of like, you know, what I'm going for. So I switched. I was like, Merrick's is like super memorable. It's my name, super authentic, and I'm big on authenticity. So I was like, okay, Merrick's Alexander. And then my friend's like, bro, that sounds like a design brand. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. So I just kind of went, I transitioned from AG the Shooter to Merrick's Alexander and just started, stopped posting on like separate pages because I felt like I was just misdirecting the traffic that could just all go to one page. And then eventually I was just like, okay, let's just make Marix Alex one and done, one-stop shop. And I learned how to put my camera, or convert 120 frames per second. I think it was 2019. And from there, like, I fell in love with just like making things cinematic. I literally went outside and recorded, I think some snow, it was snowing one day in Dallas, and recorded snow. And I was just like, oh yeah, I think I want to start doing like video more and just start learning more about video. And yeah, I just started making everything slow. I was doing like running the water in the sink, like just trying to see how like slow I could get it. And then like just doing that to, okay, let's take it to the court. And then let's take it to like, I was just trying all like anything I could film. Like I was doing plants, I was doing butterflies, you know what I mean? Like just anything just to get better. And then eventually ended up going to Sneaker Politics. Shout out the gang right here. Ended up going to Sneaker Politics and met Ivy Owenu, one of the best people you'll ever meet or know. And she was DJing and I took some pictures of her and I noticed that she was mixing because I have a best friend, we DJ. So I'm like, this is kind of cold. I complimented her. She ended up like connecting with me and just like, yo, anytime you need help, just let me know. And then from there, we just became cool. It's like my big sister to this day. She's like helped me do everything basically to this day. But she ended up bringing me to Dorian Finney-Smith's foundation event at Traffic. Took some pictures of him. And she took me to my first game. It was the Miami Heat on, I think it was like December 9th or something like that. I think it was 2019. It was a couple months before the pandemic, but took me to my first game. I recorded Bam. How you say his last name? Adebayi? I can't say it for real. I don't want to mess it up. But recorded Bam. Ended up recording and the mic wasn't on. So that was like one of my intros to the NBA, messing that up, but built a relationship with me and Ivy that like to this day we still locked in. Like I still go to her for anything. She still helps me with anything. I was supposed to go to All-Star with her, but got mixed up. And yeah, bro, after that pandemic happened, ended up locking in with Tim Martin, one of my good friends. He's an NBA skills trainer. Got clients like Tyrese Maxey, Victor Wembanyama, Trae Young, PJ Washington, loaded class of guys, but ended up going in the gym with him for a whole summer. Shot some stuff like Jamias Ramsey, connected with Rock Nation Sports, and just kept building my portfolio. They had like Keontae George, Arterio Morris was in the gym at the time, Jamias Ramsey. And from there, just kept building relationships. And then by the time that next summer or whenever the league kicked back up, me and Dorian had became good friends and was able to connect with him and talk to him about helping him with his content. And from there, the rest was history. Just kept getting better, kept seeing what other people was doing and just adding my own like taste to it or what I thought was cool. And just like, if I was I'm a hooper, so I know like how I want to be perceived. So I just kind of like bring that into perspective when I'm shooting and try to, you know, make the hoopers feel like they want to feel, you know, lit. Like, you know what I mean? Just like some cool stuff. And from there, I just started building relationships with a whole bunch of players, younger, older, whoever, you know, whoever I can meet, try to reach out, show love. And that's what really made me like turn up for real, just showing love to a whole bunch of people. I did so much stuff for like free, just pulling up and just over delivering for people. And it pays off whenever you like, you may not think it will, but it's going to be one day where somebody randomly DMs you and like, hey, are you available tomorrow week? Or you trying to come to Miami? Or you trying to come to Vegas? You trying to come like, so yeah, just over delivering and just being there for people, helping people. It traveled like way further than I could ever think. And honestly, that's what, you know, keeps me going today. Like I still try to over deliver and try to make people feel, you know, loved when it comes to like the things that I send them or they get, like, you know what I mean? Like you receive love, you feel like you owe people, not owe people, but like, you know, you want to give it back or like pay it forward. And even then, like, I skipped this, but in between 20, 2020 and 2021, Ivy let me sleep on her sofa for a year. During the pandemic, I was forced to move back because my apartment was trash and it was the pandemic. So I was like, I'm going home, I'm going to the crib. So I was in Louisiana for like 2 months, and then Ivy hit me and was like, yo, you know, come do my content for me and I'll let you stay at the crib. Her daughter was away for the summer. So she was like, yeah, it's cool. And by the time her daughter came back, we was locked in just killing content. And her daughter was super comfortable with me being around, and I helped her, like, just, you know, picking up from school, bringing her different places and just taking the load off of Ivy. So it worked out. And, you know, her being like a big sister anywhere she was going, like going to Hennessy events, going to NBA events, going to just anything you can imagine, and connecting with people that helped me, like, I say grow faster in Dallas than you could say like anybody else just moving to Dallas would, and just like as far as connecting with people. So Ivy and Tim are really people that, like, I feel like I owe them, like, not say my life, but like I owe them like so much.
Man, that's crazy, yo. It's really a small world, because I just met Ivy at All-Star on Friday night. I met her at the Adidas party, bro. I was texting her yesterday. That's really crazy, bro. Like, bro, how small this world is, man. She definitely a great person. From like the first encounter that I had with her, she seems like she's super genuine. And I'm happy to let her know I connected with you, man. I'm gonna send her a picture of this when we're done. Like, yo, look who I'm talking to. You should have came out, man. Dope. I definitely would have seen you if you came out.
Nah, facts. I was supposed to, bro, and it was just a lot. Like, we were trying to figure out, like, just how I was going to get there and stuff. And, like, flights was crazy. And I didn't even want to, like, make her pay that much. You know what I mean? Like, she needed me there, but I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to put you in a, not say bad situation, but I was like, yeah, I don't know. And then Jaden, you know I shoot for Jaden, right? So I went to Miami with Jaden. So I was like, yeah. So I ended up taking the trip with Jaden. I was like, I'm going to just take a load off, bro. And, like, you know, Indy was going to be a lot. I know it's like, I'd have been still probably sleeping right now, but it's cool. I'll try to make it next year to the Bay.
Facts. That's love. That's love. So you mentioned something in your response just now that I wanted to ask you about. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned kind of how being a hooper, like, you know how you're able to kind of, how players want to be, you know, documented, and kind of you put that into your work and stuff like that. I want to ask you, like, how do you feel like, I think in me and Tank, we're talking about it all the time, like, just this new era of content creators, man. I feel like everybody's different in their own way. You know what I mean? Like, even though there are so many videographers and cameramen that are taking pictures and doing videos, and it's like, it's easy to be like, dang, you know, how do I stand out, right? So I kind of want to ask you, like, as a creator, you know, but also as somebody who has a background in hoops, how do you feel like you've been able to carve out an individual lane for yourself and make your content different from others?
For me personally, I try to make everything almost like a story, or just, I'm all about vibe. So I feel like if it's within my vibe, I'm gonna produce it. Or if it's like, you know, whatever I'm feeling, honestly, it's kind of like being a musical artist. Like, if I'm in my feelings, you know what I mean? I'm gonna talk about heartbreak. Or if I'm like lit, I'm probably, you know, talk about turning up, you know what I mean? So it just depends. And then, and it depends on the player. Like, if I know something about them, if I know they're from a certain area, or they're from, like, I don't know, they like something, like a certain song or something, like, I try to cater to them. And at the same time, tell them a story. Like, I try to get, like, close-ups, I try to get shoes, I try to get behind the jersey, pregame, interacting with fans. I'm trying to get, like, all the elements of you being a basketball player and you, let's say, connecting with, like, the culture. So I pay attention to music a lot, just fashion and how, what type of person the player is as far as, like, personality-wise, and try to cater to them in that way. And I feel like that's how you build connections with players, knowing that, okay, like, he on the same songs I be on, like, you know what I mean? He on the same music I'm on, like, he, like, you know, wearing cool stuff, like, you know, similar to me. That's how you create bonds with people without even having to say too much. Like, for instance, Devin Booker was warming up maybe, like, the last time we played the Suns, and he was singing Daylight, which was crazy to me. I'm like, he's singing a song about himself. He said, he was like, my dog got booked for acting like Book. Hold on. Can y'all hear me? My Siri just went off, but Yeah, D Book was warming up and he was singing Daylight by Drake and was saying, my dog got booked for acting like Book. And I'm just like, I'm definitely using that for the mix. Like, definitely using that for the mix. And it's just like, even that, it's just knowing or trying to understand how a player is. It usually helps with traction, you know what I mean? As far as them like interacting with it or like reposting it or even like hitting you up for the video. So yeah, I usually go by that. And as far as style, I just kind of kept practicing and just doing what I like. I never catered to anybody unless somebody had like, it's like a big project or something like that. But for the most part, whenever you lock in there with me, it's all about like, you know, what I see and what I'm producing. So I never really, I don't ever question anything or ask too many people about it. Cause you know, when you do that, you start like second guessing and you just like, you're waiting for people to respond and you're waiting for like take backs. And feedback is good, but at the same time, it could hinder you at the same time. So it's just knowing when to take that feedback and knowing when to just like trust yourself and just trust what you got going and know that. Like for me, I know like, I'm like, man, anything I do go crazy. Like humbly speaking, but at the same time, it's just like, because I know what I do and like how, what touch I have, you know what I mean? So it's just like knowing that. And if you do anything knowing touch, it doesn't matter if you got like 8 followers, 800,000, you know what I mean? Like, you don't still have that same touch because you are who you are. And I feel like that's the main thing when it comes to being a creative. You just gotta understand who you are and like not bend or like fold or try to be anybody else. You can learn from other people and like take good things, but you don't wanna be too much of one thing or be too much of another thing. So I feel like just what you like and what's like efficient, and you still want to challenge yourself, but at the same time, you want to know what works for you. And you don't want to like overstep or understep. You still want to grow, but at the same time, you know, grow your lane, if that makes sense. So
when you kind of spoke on it a little bit right then, but I think we just see like, we see so much of your work on the back end. Like once you post it and it's just like, all like it looks perfect. Like everything goes together. It flows, the song, the concept, everything flows. Like it's just a lot of glitz and glam that we get from your content, but can you just kind of detail us some of like the more, I guess, strenuous things like you have to face as a videographer, because you go so many places and you capture so much footage. But like, I guess, what are some like the smaller things like that you have to deal with, whether that's travel or just gathering film and editing, that you have to deal with that people don't always get to see, and you feel like that's something that you wish people appreciated more about you and your craft?
It's just like the grind of it, bro. First, it's like getting credentialed. You know what I mean? Like, building those relationships with players to able to get the opportunity to shoot it is one thing. And then getting in the door, once you get in the door, it's like you have a whole playground. So it's just like understanding where you can go. Like, it's kind of like on the playground, like who you going to hang out with, what part of the playground you going to be at. Like, you going to be on the monkey bars or you going to go on the slide, you know what I mean? So it's being able to kind of know like, okay, what angles do I need to do? What angles can I get? Where can I shoot from? Who do I need to speak to? Like, even learn, like for me, it's like meeting all the security guards and knowing like where I can go, who I can mess with, and like, you know, what I'm good at and stuff like that. So that's a big aspect. Also, just editing, man, on the back end is when you're using 4K 120, it's like my computer, I need a new one, but, it's just render times and just waiting, having like a whole bunch of patience. That's probably the biggest thing I've learned throughout like camera stuff and like editing, is just being patient and just taking 1% of the time, or just understanding that like everything not gonna come to you in one day or like one moment. You gotta just like keep going, keep producing, keep pushing out stuff, because I have stuff that I posted like 30 days ago and guess what, it's going crazy like next week or 2 months from now. So it's those things. I'm trying to think of anything else. Travel, of course. I think being like nocturnal, not saying nocturnal, but I feel like all my greatest thoughts come at night at like 3-4 in the morning when I'm just editing in the middle of the night. So it's like late nights, early mornings. It's a lot of sacrifice for sure, because I'm at the arenas at what, Kyrie gets out there at like 4. So you got to be out there for like 4 to catch him. You got to be out there at 4. Then you waiting like 2.5 hours. I got to shoot Jaden. 2.5-3 hours before even tip off. Then you got to shoot the game. And then throughout the game, like moving around, getting different angles. And then even like I've been getting better at like my process as far as like being more efficient. I started to like write down like the clip names, because before I would just record and I would mark the clip, but I would go back and like it would be taking me like an hour just to sort through clips. So now I have like a better workflow of finding like clips. I just noted down. So even that, and then halftime and go get my game and go and get glizzies. Kyrie scored over Luka. I mean, Kyrie scored over Wimby. Like, I knew that I was going to go crazy. I was like, okay, I need to get that up. So it's getting back, putting that up. And then even when you're leaving, it's like traffic. So you wait another hour and a half to get back to the crib. And then when you get back to the crib, for me, I'm super excited about, like, I remember every play probably, like, I'm like, Kyrie did a and made it spin up the glass. Like, and I'm like, okay, I need to go do this. I need to make a mix. So it's just like, it's all the elements, honestly, that makes it, you know, a thing. It's fun, but at the same time, it is like, it's a process. Like, you got to be able to, have patience and, you know you're going to be tired, but it's just like, if you really love it, it doesn't really, I guess, make you tired.
Just to kind of, I just got to go off that question, because he said something, and you compared it to like a playground, right? Like, you kind of pick, like, who you're going to shoot, like, who you're going to hang out with in the playground. Bro, you got a hell of a playground to choose from, bro. Like, I'm looking at your work. I'm seeing Kanye, Quavo, Drake, Wayne, like, LeBron, Kyrie. Like, you're shooting all those people. Like, do you feel like there's ever a different pressure, or, like, do you ever feel like there's a different point of view you have to have between shooting, like, people who are celebrities and artists, versus shooting like athletes? Like, what is like the difference between your shooting? Like, is there any type of idea that you have that kind of shifts, or is it kind of like the same process?
It's pretty much the same process as far as like shooting actual like camera stuff, but when it comes to like processing like how the content is gonna be produced, it's a little different. Music and I guess entertainment / like celebrities is a little bit more new for me. Basketball, obviously, I'm in the arena or in gyms like every other day, so it's kind of secondhand nature. I know like all the vibes. When it comes to music, I guess do my best, if that makes sense. The places that I end up is nothing but God. I ain't gonna lie. Like, when I shot Drake, definitely didn't know I was gonna be shooting Drake that night. When I shot, well, 2 Chainz, I knew. I asked about that, but. Even with them, it's just like, you know what your aesthetic is, and you know what you're looking for, or what type of angles you're looking for. I guess with like concerts and stuff, I would try to go like, you know, more wide, try to get like atmospheric stuff, and just catching vibes, bro. I feel like everything is, for the most part, just vibes. It depends on like I said, it depends on the player, it depends on like the artist, on like what type of vibes they bring, what kind of vibes they bring to you, how you feel about when you like, I guess you could say like consuming whatever type of art they're producing. If whether it's Kyrie, whether it's Drake, whether it's Kanye and Quavo, I think as long as you're capturing like that moment, you can use it, you know what I mean? Position it however you want to once you grab it. But I think the first thing is like being in that position, or like even getting to that part of the playground, you know what I mean? To even like, you know, play in that part of the playground. So I hope that made sense.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask you, man, you spoke about this on the previous podcast on your Instagram. You mentioned like, you know, when you were blown up, when you first kind of were growing, like you grew over like 30K on Instagram in like a 2-week period. And you was like, those people that was hitting you up, like, damn, like, you changed up, or this or that. And it's like, I want to give you opportunity, number one, to reflect on that, because I feel like a lot of people are kind of quick to assume that when things happen. It's like, why are you kind of projecting that on me, number one? So I wanted to, I guess, get your thoughts on that, and I guess how you process that. And then number two, like, just take us, talk to us about that moment of, like, the first video that really went viral and blew up for you when you had that blow up over a short amount of time. Like, what was going through your mind? What were the emotions? And what was that moment like for you?
So I'll answer the first question. I feel like with the followers, it's like super stereotypical, just being that, like, you know, people go with like, oh, they got this many followers. They don't respond. They won't speak to me. You know, just all the stereotypical stuff. Like even my cousin would be like, if I was a girl, I wouldn't talk to you. I'm like, what? This is basketball fans. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. It's just kind of like communicating with people that like, you know, just because people have a certain amount of followers or, you know, get a certain amount of likes, that doesn't change their personality or like the person that they are. Cause you know, my personality is not going to change in like a day. You know what I mean? I'm like, 2 days. I feel like the first video that went crazy had to be like a Jordan Poole video. If I'm not mistaken, no, it was a Jordan Poole video or it was a Steph video. And I slowed it down. I think that was one of the first ones I was like, okay, I'm gonna just start slowing these down because they really are fire. Like, and you get to like process the moves and see like what they're doing bit by bit. And it was definitely the Steph Curry. It was a Draymond. It was the little play when Draymond is in the corner, sets the screen for Steph and hits him with the little pass. And it went crazy. I think it had like a couple hundred thousand on there. And my followers just went crazy. And during the Western Conference Finals, I think Mavs and Warriors, when was it? I forgot. I think like 2022? In 2021, when they played, and me and Jar did a collab post. And I tell you, like, yeah, I gained like at least 5-6K in like a day. Baddies in my DM saying, like, yo, can you please link me with JP? He's like meant for me. Like, I know. I'm like, all right. But like that, those moments, I had this moment where I captured Jordan Poole singing Fantasia. And that was probably one of the real clips that went crazy where like all the blogs and stuff was posting it. I had like Complex and had BET posted, Slam posted it for sure. Just all the outlets. And, in my mind, I'm just like, sheesh, like people are really kind of like seeing like what I'm doing or they have an idea. And, but for me, it's just like, I never get too high or get too low. So like, I'd be like, okay, I'm getting all this love, but that means I got to keep going. Cause I mean, people gonna come to my page and if they don't see more, they just gonna be like, ah, okay, that was one cool video. You know what I mean? So it's just like, for me, it's just like, okay, I got to keep people, you know, full. Like people come to my page, I want them to scroll on my page for like an hour. You know what I mean? So big Gary Vee person, I don't know if y'all watch Gary Vee, but he's always like, bro, you should be posting 5-6 times a day. Excuse me. And I like kind of live by that. I don't post as much as often now because my notifications is in shambles every day. I promise it's in shambles every day. But I try to post like as much like meaningful stuff to me and the stuff that makes the most sense. So yeah, bro, it's just, you know, I got to stay humble at the end of the day. I feel like when I get to like a million, I might be like, I can kind of chill. But even then, like, I'm going to feel like I still need to step it up or still need to do more to keep growing. Like, Taylor Swift got like 281 million. But guess what? She's still going to keep making albums. Drake got like the most you can think of. He's still grinding. You know what I mean? Like, there's people who like in way better situations who still like put in the work. And like, I admire, you know what I mean, that process. Of course, you're supposed to sit back and like chill and like understand what's going on, but at the same time, like, I feel like you still gotta always just keep going. So.
Is that the video of Jordan Poole and Gary Payton when they were singing it? Is that video?
Yeah. When I see you, yep.
Bro, that's, hey, bro, I watched that video at least, bro, 15, 20 times. No cap. That joint is crazy. Nah, that's love. It's funny.
The big one. You know what's crazy, bro? Like, I stopped recording because somebody had gotten away. And then Jordan Poole shot the shot after that and made it. I'm like, bro, that would have made the perfect. I mean, the video even more perfect, bro.
That would have been crazy. So, I want to ask, man, because I feel like I'm loving this era right now, man. Like, I feel like yourself, like, it's a dude named Rob Reels. He, like, shoots the Timberwolves. A dude named Aaron James, who shoots the Celtics. Like, I love watching, like, all y'all videos because all you guys do, like, the R&B, like, slow jams and shit with the mixtapes. And, like, yes, I feel like it's a vibe, bro. Like, I feel like it's crazy because back in the day, bro, ain't nobody want to admit that they listen to slow jams or they listen to R&B. But now it's like, you throw out a video, it's going crazy. Like, everybody act like they on the wave. So I wanted to ask you about that, man. Like, how do you feel like, what are your thoughts on how that's kind of like made a resurgence now? Like, that's like a whole trend now, like to throw the slow jams and the R&B on the basketball mixtapes.
I think, bro, I love it, honestly, because, man, a vibe is a vibe, bro. Like, when it comes to basketball, if something looks, especially when you slow it down, it's like, you can't put NBA Youngboy to, like, somebody crossing somebody over in slow-mo.
It's like, art. It's frame. Art. At the end of the day, like, basketball is art.
So you got to be able to observe it and, like, mentally, like, enjoy what you're listening to at the same time. For me, bro, like, I never, like, put a cap on what music I put on, like, videos. I think I would, I don't know if I ever heard somebody else put Summer Walker on a video before I did. Not gonna say that, but, like, I was putting, like, Summer Walker, like, old Summer Walker. I was putting, like, SZA. I put Usher Superstar on one of them. Like, this was, like, just one of the step videos. I put Usher Superstar. People were like, bro, what? Why are you putting this on here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, just crazy stuff. Anything that I vibe to, bro. Like, if I'm in the shower and vibing to it, I'm like, oh, I'm putting that on the video. Like, you know what I mean? Or if I'm my girl playing something, I'm like, oh, I'm putting this on the video for sure. Like, I'm like, what song is this? Like, oh, yeah. Sabrina Claudia, putting it on the video. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm a music kid, so that makes it better. Like, I'm putting Larry June on there. I'm putting Currency. I don't care. Like, and especially since they the homies, like, I can literally just be like, yo, let me show them love, especially like Cash Page. She dropped new stuff. I'm like, okay, let me turn her up or try to, and post something with like Kyrie or something, because I know Kyrie is, that's an easy like 100K. You know what I mean? So it's just like, if I'm helping the gang out and doing this, it's kind of, you know, it's beneficial. But yeah, I feel like just being a music head contributes a lot to like what I do. Like when I edit videos, like the music is the first thing. Like I'm working on this video right now. I haven't started because I literally don't know what song I'm gonna use. I'm gonna just like, I'm gonna have to have like a jam session later. And just, this is a whole bunch of stuff. But I feel like it's all vibes, bro. Like, you can't do nothing if you don't have a vibe for it, or, you know what you wanna go for as far as the vibe. So, and I ain't gonna lie, sometimes I just get the clip and go on IG Music and just like think of something. I'll be like, Chaka Khan. I was like, nah, not Chaka Khan. Let me do Michael Jackson or somebody. You know what I mean? So it just depends on the vibe, bro. If I'm around my parents, if they listen to something like that cookout music, I'm gonna do that next time, honestly. Put some cookout music on there. You know, like, I don't know, a little, I don't know if you got no Tucker, but like a little Tucker, I might put a little Cupid Shuffle or something on there. Somebody get crossed up, you know what I mean? So it's all the vibe, bro. Like, it's all the vibes. And so it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's definitely became a thing. I think that Paul George video did it, that to that Erykah Badu, and then everybody
didn't you know the R&B.
Yeah, I feel like people were like, dang, that R&B do be hitting on the clip for real. And then since it's emergence, I feel like it's definitely like taking it back up a notch. So I appreciate it though, because I like good music and basketball, so it's kind of hard not to love it for real.
I think something I've loved about it is, like, I think we're making it music and, like, basketball, but I think it's really a thing of, like, when you're in an art discipline, like, creating content, you realize just how much, like, you appreciate other different artists in their own discipline and just, like, how much, like, those worlds, like, merge together. And I just feel like we're getting to a place now, like, where people are kindly putting all those things, like, on the same level. Because, like, even when it comes to hooping, like, hooping in itself is an art. So now we're getting to a point where we're mixing like four different disciplines to make one piece of product. And I think that's what's like making it so beautiful in that sense.
No, I definitely agree, bro. I feel like hoop is just like hoop culture. Like, hoop is not even just hoop, bro. It's not even basketball. It's like hoop is like basketball, and it comes into like the fashion, and then like the hoop drip, and it comes to the music. Like, it's like a whole, like, that culture is just itself, bro. And like, you can't like, recreate that at all. Like, and I feel like everybody just, it's so like contagious. Like, rappers want to be hoopers, hoopers want to be rappers, and like the whole night, like, even me, I want to be a hooper and a rapper, you know what I mean? Like, when I be editing, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make this like a studio. I feel like I'm Young Thug and Future in the studio right now, like cooking up something, you know what I mean? So I try to you know, keep all the vibes, bro. Like I said, like everything is a vibe to me. If I'm not in the vibe to, or in the mood to edit, I'm definitely not gonna do it. You know what I mean? Like I gotta be mentally there. I gotta be like ready to do it. Some stuff I gotta force myself to do it. But for the most part, when it comes to like basketball stuff and stuff that I actually care to produce, like I gotta like, you know, it's piece by piece. Like Rome wasn't built in a day, so I try to take it the same way. So.
You Young Boy and Future in the studio, or you like Larry June and Cardo? I know you be kicking it with Larry June, so I'm just asking.
Man, I'm not. I'm definitely not Young Boy. Young Boy, Lil Reddy. I'm probably a more, yeah, I'm more of a Larry June. You know, Larry June and Cardo was by himself on his own time, no matter what he had at the crib, doing whatever. I feel like, yeah, more Larry June, because Larry's like, I feel like he disciplined. Like, he wake up 5 a.m., like the car, do his stuff, take care of his son. Like clean up, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it's like,
good fantasy, job,
bro. Like, that's one of, yeah, good job, man. Good job. and then Currency, bro. Like, that's one of my Currency is a big reason I started like believing in myself with the photo stuff and video stuff too. I had went to a show. It was Larry June's show in New Orleans, and I finessed in by hitting up somebody that was like opening up for them, got in there backstage with Larry and Currency, just chilling. Got to snap behind the scenes stuff for that. And then Larry is about to perform, and I'm like, yo, Spitter, can I snap you up real quick? And he's like, yeah, he got all his chains on. He's like, man, this is what I work hard for, so look. And then he got in the light, I snapped it up. Pictures was cold. I showed him, he's like, yeah, it's cold, send it to me. I got his number. He gave me both numbers to both his phones. I'm like, all right, bet. Send him some pictures. Either they're posting it, I'm lit. I'm like, man, one of my favorite artists just posted my stuff, bro. Like, probably, that was my favorite artist at that time for sure. And I was like, damn, my favorite artist just told me my picture's cold. And then I edited that night. So I didn't edit all of them. I just edited enough to send to him, or the ones that I thought was really good. And then double back, I went back through them and I found a couple more. And I was like, yo, bro, I got a couple more. And he was like, yo, bro, what's your Twitter? And next day, I wake up, it's like 7 or 7 in the morning. He like, yo, I was still AG the Shooter, I think. He's like, hey, AG the Shooter, this might be my next album cover. And I'm like, I done made it. I done made it for real. But nah, it was crazy because he did that. And then I looked in the comments, he tagged Cardo. And I'm like, is Cardo and like Spitta at the same time? So that was a crazy experience, bro. Like that really turned me up for real. I was like, oh yeah, I could do this camera stuff for real. If my favorite artist believe in me, then I don't need nobody else to believe in me for real but myself. So yeah, man. And that, honestly, that was the beginning of everything for real. February 2020, right before the pandemic, right after the first Mavs game, got the first Larry and Currency show. I was like, oh yeah, this is all God's plan, bro, for real. Yeah, you can't make that up.
That's tough. I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, man. The Hooper and me, I feel like, and just also being in this creative industry now, respecting the game and the art, is like, bro, you have an opportunity every Mavericks game to shoot Kyrie and Luka. Like, two of the best players, not only in the league today, but like two of the best players in NBA history. Like, what is that like, being able to watch them on a day-to-day basis, shoot them on a day-to-day basis, have a front row seat? Like, you literally witnessing two all-time greats and being able to shoot all-time greats. 20, 30 years when they're retired, you're going to be like, dang, like, I really got to document two of the best players to ever lace them up in NBA history. You know what I mean? You already mentioned, like, yo, you post Kyrie, that's an easy, you know, 100K on the numbers. Like, but what has that been like for you just shooting them and just being able to capture the art of it? You know, as obviously a content creator, but also as a hooper yourself.
Bro, honestly.
Hey, we're going to get you on a personal episode. We'll see you back. Just me and you, Tank.
Bro, honestly, I have to, like, not to say remind myself, but I'm like, bro, you're really shooting, like, two of the greatest players, not only in the NBA, but, like, to ever play or ever touch a basketball for real. Like, the impact and, like, the legacy that they have already is insane. But nah, bro, like, every game really a blessing, bro. Like, being able to watch Kyrie, I used to be, like, circling the calendar when Kyrie come for Brooklyn or when he coming for, like, Boston, whatever. So to be able to do that and, like, have Luka too as well, it's insane. just because like games happen so like often, you kind of forget that like that there are the two best players or one of the two of the best players in the league. But nah, it's really like a dream come true, honestly. Like I said, my childhood best friend, his favorite player was Kyrie. So all I'm hearing about is Kyrie every day. Kyrie this, Kyrie that, Kyrie this, Kyrie that. And then eventually you're going to be like, okay, let me check him out. And then he slowly was like, okay, he got a different game. So you know what I mean? He's cool. He's cold. Then he ended up in Cleveland and he won the championship with my favorite player, LeBron James. So it was just like, okay, I'm a fan of Kyrie. And then, you know, slowly, little by little, year after year, Kyrie just keeps getting better. And then he ends up here and being one of, like, I guess you could say the most, like, unique players or unique scorers. Like, when it comes to basketball, I feel like Kyrie has one of the greatest impacts on the game when it comes to just it being, like, an art form or it being super technical, with whether it's, like, footwork, where it's like spin on the basketball, where there's you know, creating dribble moves. Like I still can't do the behind the back in and out, like, you know what I mean? So it's just like being able to be creative in that element, in that space. And even with Luka is insane when it comes to creating space, creating pace, being able to do like the footwork, the third step backs, the not the third step backs, but third fallaways. It's really just a blessing, bro. Being able to witness every game and document it and know that I have that forever is really insane. So, bro, even like the LeBron chalk toss, I'm like, bro, I got three of these on like footage. Like I'm good for life. So it's really a blessing, bro. Yeah. I told somebody yesterday, Tank, you might know her. Her name is Alex. I think Alex Williams. She works for the Mavs in marketing, I think. Yeah, she was gonna introduce me to the VP of her department, and she was like, I'm gonna introduce you in the first quarter. And I'm like, I don't think I want to miss a play, because you just never know what like Kyrie or Luka gonna do when they're on the court. Especially with the Suns coming in town, like even with all the superstars, you're just like, dang, bro, I can't miss a play. So yeah, bro, it's really a blessing to shoot them.
It's kind of what you mentioned right then, like it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was thinking. So I know that this is kind of something you're big on, but the definition of sightseeing is to visit places with an interest in a particular location. Can you just kind of give an idea of like the term sightseeing to you? Because I know that's kind of something that's become like your mantra and something that you have like dived deeper into and taken along with your brand. So like, what does sightseeing mean to you, and how have you used that as something you carry along as you grow, continue to grow as a professional?
So like with the phrase sightseeing is just me being able to go to places I go and seeing the things that I see and able to like capture it. These are like the images that people have in their minds that last forever, that I'm able to keep, if that makes sense. So this is the fact that, I don't know, the world is just beautiful, bro. Coming from Ville Platte, like I appreciate like everything in like small capacities. Like I'm used to one ways, like car coming this way, car going this way. Here is like, got eight cars on this side. So I'm like, dang, okay, I'm riding on this today besides the traffic, but I'm like, I get to be out here. If it's a beautiful day like today, I'm like, dang, okay, clouds out, sun out, like I can go jog today. It's the small stuff, bro. Like I enjoy sunsets so much, bro. So it's just like being able to see the small things or notice the small things makes like the world way bigger. And I feel like if you see the small things, like the details, even like one of my mottos is like 1% every day. So if you see the small things continuously, they add up to be something bigger. And I feel like the more you see, the more you kind of like perceive and know, and you have a more open outlook, and you have a more like, you have more to say about things. So wrapped up into two words, sightseeing is just being able to perceive and understand everything that you come in contact with and just appreciating it, and being able to, I guess, grow your perception and allowing your like mind to wonder about what you're seeing and, you know, wanting to see more. So, and as far as a brand, I just felt like it was the perfect, you know, like phrase or campaign for me, because I don't know, I just like going out and seeing stuff and seeing cool things and being around cool people. So I found no way better else to say it by than not saying sightseeing. So
that's love, man. You know, I feel like number one, that's a great, you know, a great way to kind of bring it to a close, man. I think number one, I think just the art of sightseeing, appreciating where you are, being where your feet are, is something that I think makes your content authentic. You know what I mean? And from the outside looking in, man, that's something I definitely admire about your content. I look forward to seeing, you know, where it goes as well in the future, man, because I know it's only up from here for sure, man. But the last question that we always ask all of our guests before we get them out of here is, who should we have next on the What's In Your Bag podcast? Well, whoever you got to say, you got to get in your, not AG the shooter bag, because AG the shooter was just letting it fly. We need you to get in your point guard bag and give us the assist and help us get them on the show.
Okay. So I think the next person y'all should interview, y'all want to be a creative or what spectrum?
Any spectrum. We can be creative, any spectrum? Be a player. We've had from all walks of life on this show.
Trying to see. I would say Ivy, but Ivy's schedule is insane. I would probably go Tim Martin. Tim Martin, that's my guy. I feel like he has a crazy unique story when it comes to just like basketball and life. He's like super wise when it comes to like different things on life and especially basketball. I could have a field day picking his mind. And then he's also in love with like the art of basketball, the art of everything. He's a big nature person. Like his dad has like some ranches and stuff. Every birthday he goes to Colorado and like sleeps in the wilderness. Insane. But that is just like a small intro to the type of person he is. And I definitely will allow y'all. I'm pretty sure he'll love to do it. But yeah.
Sounds good, man. Definitely got to be in contact with getting him on. I would love to talk to him about the art of the game, basketball and stuff like that, man. So
oh yeah. Now he definitely got down for real.
For sure. Let me get that happen, man. But I just want to say, man, we always try to give you flowers on this show, man. I just want to say, shout out to you, man, for creating your own lane in this space. Shout out to you for, you know, being one of my favorite creators to watch and grow along the page and check out the videos, man. Continue to do what you do. We're going to be following the journey here at All Facts, man. And we look forward to getting back on the show down the line, man, for a life update to see, you know, what Will Marriage is up to in a few years.
We definitely got to do that. We definitely got to run it back.
No,
yes, sir. I appreciate y'all, man.
Nah, definitely, bro. From like one small town person to like another, I know kind of what it's like, you know, go from that small town. Like sometimes you look around, you like, bro, what the hell? Like, am I doing here? Like, what did I do to get here? Type vibe. So I definitely get it. So like, I appreciate your journey. I see a lot of my journey within your journey in that aspect. So just want to say, keep going, bro. Just getting started. We're just getting prepped up here for sure. Appreciate you hopping on, bro. It's always love.
Yes, sir. Always love,
man. All righty, guys. This has been another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. As always, remember to like, comment, subscribe, share, tap in, and tell the world about the good gospel of the What's In Your Bag podcast. It's going to be my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the outro. Till next time, folks. Deuces.
Adios.
Suave. I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss, grinding shit critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams and right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, change relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly. Now.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.